All right, we're here with another episode of Awake the Iron. I'm CJ, and I'm here with Kaysen. We might call this one Awake the Gold or Awake the Silver, because we're going to talk about money. and I noticed, well, before I talk about your background, anybody who's listening, be sure to check out awaketheiron.com for the video, because we have visuals, and I was going to mention... I noticed Kaysen's background is a little bit different. He has some things on display there. Something about vaccine studies and looks like Larkin Rose's book. Did you want to say anything about those or?
No, I just I was sitting on the couch this time. I thought, oh, there's a little ledge here. I'll put something up there.
Yeah. So before we get into the topic of money, we'll play a little game.
Since good.
We talk about deception a lot. Now, Kaysen, you were on the podcast recently, and you played this game with him. So that's why I thought maybe we would do it. But for the audience, Kaysen was on the podcast Things I Think About, and that came out on August 17th, called Whatever Happened to Critical Thinking. So, and there's a lot in there, so everybody check that out. It's very dense.
It was fun.
Yeah. Okay, so we're doing, we're going to play Two Truths and a Lie. So I'll tell you three statements about myself. Two of them are true, one is a lie, and you got to guess which one is the lie. Now,
okay.
Know each other pretty well, so I don't know how well this will work, but
okay,
it's just fun.
Okay. Okay, good.
Here are my three statements. I played soccer as a kid. I've never eaten pineapple. And I lived in Canada for a year.
I'm gonna have to say, I mean, yeah, I know you're pretty good. You like food a lot. So I'm thinking the pineapple one. You've surely eaten pineapple before. So I'm going to say the pineapple one is the lie.
Okay. So the statement was, I've never eaten pineapple. So you think I have eaten pineapple?
I do.
You're correct. However, I lied. They were actually all three lies.
You cheater.
So even though it was like sort of about deception, see if you could catch my lie, lied about how we were playing the game. So my rules were a lie.
All right. Okay. Yeah. You gotta keep us sharp. Keep us sharp.
Yeah. And how would you know that? I guess you just trusted me that I was going to, you know, be honest about how we were playing the game.
Right. So, I mean, that's the lesson there that, you know, I'm a trusting person. I am. I don't know why anyone wouldn't do something that's awesome. So when people do things that are terrible, I'm just like, man, I can't even get inside that mindset. But you're right. I trusted you, but you got me on that one. So I can't say that I couldn't have said that I knew, right? I just believed you. So, yeah, but that's always fun.
Yeah, and then, you know, as we talk about our topic today and other things, I guess people should just keep that in mind, that there is deception, and it might be even, like, deeper or more foundational than we think, you know, like what I just did. You assumed I was telling you that we were playing, this is how things are going to work, and then spot the deception. But actually, the whole thing was a deception.
Right.
All right. So, money. Hopefully, this is a topic that is interesting to people. But first, we'll just talk about kind of what it is or what it isn't in the history of it. So, of course, you can imagine back in the day, people... bartering. I'm sure people know what that is. Like, I have a cow and you have a fish. So maybe we'll trade.
All I think of is Settlers of Catan.
Yes.
Yeah. Trade you some lumber for some sheep, right? That's bartering.
Right. Yeah. And if you really need, you know, if you really need something.
Yeah, I'll give you two or, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, that works okay, but there are some difficulties. For example, you know, if I have a cow and you have a fish, but you want my cow, but I don't want your fish. you know, so you have to find somebody who wants what you have, and you have to find somebody who has what you want, and you have to be in the same time and same place, and you know, be able to work that out. Like maybe they don't need a whole cow, but you're not going to cut yours in half yet. you know,
right? Okay, so that it could get a little tricky, right? Yeah, to where you might be like, okay, maybe there's like a standard thing that you could use, or right? I'm thinking.
Yeah, right. So then you can imagine, maybe you would start to trade things that pretty much everybody would want, you know, like maybe cocoa beans or something. So that way you want to buy the cow from me. I want fish, but you have cocoa beans. So I'll take your cocoa beans, and then I'll take the cocoa beans to the mm-hmm. fishermen.
Right.
So at least that way there's more transactions, but if we all kind of have cocoa beans to trade, then, that works a little better.
Right.
But then, you know, you still have some problems. Maybe you can't get cocoa beans, or they're not going to last long. So there's different properties of, money. So I'm going to share this, visual. Can you see this?
Mm-hmm.
So, over here on the left, we have medium exchange, which is able to be used in trade. On the right, we have currency and money. So this is jumping a little ahead because we're going to talk about that too, but there's a difference between currency and money, which we'll see there at the bottom of the list. But both currency and money are a medium of exchange. They're a unit of account, meaning it's able to be numbered and counted. So far the cocoa beans, that would fit those as well.
Okay.
Durable, has a long usable life. You know, with the beans, maybe not. Unless mm-hmm. you're gonna, you know, store them really well or preserve them. Divisible, it can be divided equally into smaller units, or, you know, you can make change.
Okay.
Yeah. So like a $10 bill, well, you wouldn't cut it in half, but you can make change. Okay. Because there's other units, you know, smaller units.
Well, to stay with your cocoa bean idea, you could have a pound of cocoa beans, or mm-hmm. half pound or one bean, right? Yeah. So right. that works in that one.
Mm-hmm. The next is portable, so easy to carry or transport. So, you know, paper money or gold or cocoa beans, maybe not a cow, especially mm-hmm. if like you're going to buy, you know, 100 acres of land for 3,000 cows, you know, I don't know, that might be a little hard. And fungible is another property. It's kind of a weird word, but
yeah,
basically means interchangeable. So each unit is capable of mutual substitutions. Like the units are of equal value. So, you know, like $1 in my wallet is worth the same as $1 in your wallet.
Okay. Or, okay. Gotcha.
You know, I can, my one cocoa bean is pretty much the same as your one cocoa bean.
Okay. So those are things that qualify something as either currency or money, or sometimes they could be both, right?
Right. Yeah. So all of these things. But then the last one, a store of value. So Money needs to also be a store of value, which means it retains its purchasing power over long periods of time. And in this graph here, which by the way is on goldsilver.com, or not graph, I said graph, chart, whatever you want to call it. Currency, like paper money, actually is not a store of value. And we'll get into that more. But I'm sure everybody knows or has heard stories, you know, like, oh, a hamburger was 10 cents.
And I guess, I mean,
years ago or whenever. Yeah.
Yeah. This, and you know, we're kind of piggybacking on our previous episode with Brad from the Freedom People, where we were talking about the Federal Reserve. We jumped right in, and then, after, you know, CJ called me and was like, hey, maybe we should kind of go back a little and really explain money, you know, which is fine. We did that one. We had a guest and we made the appointment or whatever. So that was fine. But, and I loved the idea of, you know, you can go back. It's like a prequel. Prequels are popular. So, okay.
Right. So, back to that, you know, bartering, but then, that kind of evolved into commodity currencies like cocoa beans, or, you know, different things have been used in history, like shells.
Yeah, I looked up a list of like 10 things that were used. It was fascinating. Yeah, shells was one that I wouldn't have thought. Like there was tobacco, and shoot, I can't remember exactly, but some of them are kind of interesting.
Bricks of tea.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and those could, you know, like you could break off, like they were kind of not perferated, but you know, like blocks of bricks of dried tea leaves or whatever. Yeah, but not all those. Actually, I don't think any of those are really considered money. So they would be commodity currencies. Because they wouldn't really be a store of value, unless, you know, like, yeah, I'm thinking the shells maybe a store of value, but not, there are other properties, you know, like, durable, maybe divisible, I guess, because you could have.
Sort of, if you have a big conch, you know, that's like a $100 bill, I guess.
Fungible, maybe not, like, my shell is the same, you know, same as yours, you know, cause they might be different sizes or qualities. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But
you get the idea. And different cultures and civilizations, gravitated towards gold and silver as money. And that does actually fit all of those criteria for money.
So here's a question. Does, you know, I've heard people argue that, you know, and I, you know, we might get into like inflation stuff, which is fine, but they've argued that gold and silver, fluctuate, you know, like it, the store value, it retains its purchasing power over long periods of time.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, you know, gold and silver fluctuate too. So, you know, it's, you can't say it's not, and you can't say it's immune to, you know, inflation or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder if, well, I know the answer, but, has gold or silver ever been zero?
Not to my knowledge. I mean,
yeah, like you might say they go up and down, but like if you threw a bunch of gold at somebody when it was down, you know, would they say, oh, I don't want any of that crap?
Right. Yeah. Usually if it goes down, people want a lot of it. Right.
Yeah.
But, and we know it's precious. It's been precious, for thousands of years. Right. It's, so it has proved the test of time so far.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, when they go up and down, they're not really going up and down. So like the price goes up or down. So in other words, like an ounce of gold is $1,800, but at one time it was 1,000, or maybe it goes up to 3,000. You're talking about the price in dollars. So,
so it would take, it takes more dollars to buy 1 ounce of gold one day. And then
right.
another day, it takes less dollars to buy the same ounce of gold. So the gold isn't what is actually going up and down. So the people that, the people that say that actually are, they're actually saying the reverse without realizing it. Right.
Yeah. The gold isn't changing. The dollar is going up and down.
Right.
And we'll get into like why that goes up and down, because money shouldn't go up and down, but it's a currency. So currencies don't hold their value. Yes. Okay. So speaking of gold, okay. Now there's a couple really cool videos. We won't play them here, but we'll link them. One's like, you can still see my screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Goldsmith Tale. One of them's like a cartoon. And then this other one is, kind of like a storybook. It's cool. It's like somebody reading it and the pages turn. But I'll just summarize. So you can imagine, and I don't know if this really happened, but it's one of those stories that's, I forget what you call it, realistic fiction, or, you know, where it's not like, we're not saying this is a historic fact. It's just a story, but it seems to make sense, you know, like, I don't know. It'll make sense after I tell it. But, so there's a goldsmith that, you know, makes the gold into little coins and everything for the town. And, he obviously has to have like a secure, vault, or, you know, whatever, so that people don't just come and steal the gold.
Mm-hmm.
So because it's secure, the people in the town, you know, are like, hey, can I keep my gold in your vault? So that's fine, you know. So he charges a small fee, like a storage fee, which is reasonable, and then gives them like an IOU, like, you know, I'll take your 10 gold coins, and then here's a certificate that says you've got your 10 gold coins, and then, you know, you can come back and get them anytime you want. So eventually people start trading the IOUs, you know, at the marketplace and stuff, because they know it's just as good as the gold, you know. So instead of like, oh, I want to go to the market and buy this, let me go to the goldsmith and give him my certificate, he'll give me my 10 coins, and then I'll go back to the market. They're like, hey, can I, at the market, they just say, can I just give you my certificate for the 10 coins and get my products? And they're like, oh yeah, sure, because they know they can take that certificate to the goldsmith and get the
okay,
right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
It seems realistic. Like, I think that's how people would function. Yeah.
Right. And you could make change. So like the merchant at the market, you know, might have several like one gold coin certificates because he wanted the visible units. So, you know, he's like, oh yeah, and I'll give you change because, or whatever. So that makes sense. So everyone's trading the IOUs, the certificates, the paper. But they're just as good as gold, because you can just go to the goldsmith and get the gold. And he's making a little money because he charges, you know, storage fees, which is, that's fine. But after a while, the goldsmith realizes most people aren't coming to exchange their IOUs for the gold, because everybody's using the paper,
mm-hmm.
just as good as gold. So he gets the idea, I can just create more IOUs then there actually is gold in the vault because no one's coming to get it anyway.
And then, like, he could spend those IOUs. Yeah.
Right. So he could spend the IOUs.
Interesting.
Of course, he would demand gold for his, you know, rental fee payments, probably. you know, so he keeps getting more gold. And there's, you know, more and more IOUs out there. Yeah, so then people start, people are happy, you know, they're prosperous because everybody's, you know, trading in the market and there's all these certificates. But eventually they get a little suspicious because the goldsmith's doing very well and they're like, we're only paying him like a small fee, you know. Because, by the way, it turns out he also was giving loans to people, and people were okay taking an IOU as the loan. In other words, like, hey, can I borrow 50 gold coins because I want to buy that farm? And the goldsmith says, sure, can you, will you take a certificate? They're like, oh, yeah, sure, because they know it's just as good as gold. Right, so he started loaning gold, but it wasn't really the gold. He was just loaning the certificate, but it wasn't even... So people would pay him back in gold plus interest, but there was never gold for the loan, right?
I see.
So yeah, so he starts doing very well and like just brazenly, you know, flaunting himself in the village square. And so eventually people are like, okay, I'm not sure we trust these IOUs, so they start going to the goldsmith, like, here, I want my 50, I want my 10, you know. And then, obviously, you can guess what happens. Yeah,
the jig is up. Yeah.
So, yeah, he gets caught.
It's interesting.
You know, or, yeah, they go, and he's already skipped town, and the vault's empty, you know.
Right.
And then, you know, everybody learns their lesson, and that never happens again.
Sure. Huh. Are you sure about that? Yeah, that's a bedtime story that it gave you nightmares, huh?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. Interesting.
So
yeah, you know, what's the story trying to say? Is it saying like, hey, that's kind of what's going on or what happens, or, you know? Or maybe it's just a story.
Right. I mean, yeah, it seems like that could have been a true story. And then, you know, we think, well, I guess that wouldn't happen now. But okay, what is everybody carrying around in their wallets? Maybe not even paper. They just have plastic or electronic money.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, what's the real, like, is there really gold? Like, should it be gold? Why are we just using paper? Like, I would give you a $100 bill, you'll be excited, but it's really just because everybody else also thinks there's value in that $100 bill.
Right.
You can't exchange it for gold. Now, you used to be able to, so...
Like, you could actually go to a bank and take your note. It was a $10 note or whatever, a silver certificate, let's say, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And say, I'd like silver for this, and you could get that?
Right. So this says it's 1928 series $20 bill. And at the top, it says, this certifies that there have been deposited in the treasury of the United States of America $20 in gold coin payable to the bearer on demand.
That's awesome.
And it says gold certificate there. So yeah, that's just like in the goldsmith story, that it's a gold certificate. You could go to any bank and say, hey, can I get the $20 gold coin? and they would give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
But then, and we'll get into some more of this mm-hmm. in a second, but this is actually earlier than that. So this is the 1914 series, authorized by the Federal Reserve Act of December 1913. So this is a image of a $20 bill. But at the top, it says Federal Reserve note instead of a certified gold certificate. So, yeah.
But that Federal Reserve note, $20, is older, right? Yeah, 1914 right there.
Yeah. So, and I think there were different currencies as well. So,
what do you mean?
This one, well, so Federal Reserve note, and what's weird is this one says, will pay the bearer on demand $20. But that's weird, right? Because you're like, wait, there's the $20. So I'm going to exchange it for another $20. Like the other one said, we'll pay the bearer in gold.
Mm-hmm.
So this one is just saying, we'll give you $20 in like whatever we think $20 is. So it could be another currency.
Weird.
Or maybe it was assumed, because the Constitution does say, doesn't it, that only gold and silver shall be money. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll pay you $20 because the real money is gold and silver.
I think it says the Congress has the authority to coin money.
Mm-hmm.
Paper is not a coin.
Oh. Yeah.
Hmm. You gotta have the old switcheroo going on. Okay, so I didn't realize that Federal Reserve notes, that's 1914, because 1913 is the Federal Reserve Act.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started printing them right away. And then, but you still had like gold and silver certificates too. So there's like some overlap. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I just never realized. So you could, I wonder if there was any like, man, I would love to talk to like a centenarian, someone's 100 mm-hmm. years old. I wonder if there was any that business over there doesn't really want to deal with anything except for silver certificates. Like, are you guys accepting Federal Reserve notes? I mean, I get if the mm-hmm. government, if you're bowing to the government's wishes, then, and they say, oh, this is now acceptable. Like if someone owed me $20 and someone tried to pay me with Federal Reserve note, and I said, no, I don't want that crap. They're, you know, like legally, they're trying to pay me in what's considered legal tender or whatever.
Right.
But I wonder if there were any businesses that were like, you know, only service certificates here. I would have been one if I could have.
Right. But, yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing is like, this is a bank note because the Federal Reserve was a bank. So there were several different bank notes, like such and such bank.
Right, so like Fifth Third has a note, and yeah. Fifth Third and Huntington and Chase or mm-hmm. whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's really no different. It's just they're the only one that the government allows it to. It's counterfeiting. It's now, actually
yeah,
what it is.
Right. Now, so this one.
Okay, here's know, like a modern one, right?
Yeah.
2006 or 2008, can't tell. Okay.
Yeah, six. So this also says Federal Reserve note.
All right.
But it doesn't say on demand we'll give you whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
But it, on the left it says this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private, which is fiat. So this is a fiat currency. Fiat means by demand, by decree or whatever. In other words, you have to use this.
Very interesting.
Public and private. So yeah, so we're not going to give you gold in exchange or some other kind of currency. Like you're going to use these notes.
So
these pieces of paper.
Okay. So like, what is a dollar? So if it is a right. if it's a standard of measure, okay, let's say we'll go back. We're in the days of gold and silver as the standard, and you have $20. Like mm-hmm. what is a dollar? Is it an ounce of
right? Okay.
You know what I mean?
So I'll go back to this picture of the gold certificate, even
okay.
though
okay.
what I'm going to talk about is older, but. So there was the gold standard, like 1870s. I think the first one was like Germany, 1873, but other countries started doing it, including the US. So 1870s-ish was the gold standard, and a $20 bill was a $20 gold piece, which I think was an ounce. Wait. Well, I don't know, but whatever it was a specific. So when you said, like, what is a dollar? At that time, it was a specific, like, $20 is this much gold.
Okay. It was a certain weight or mass yeah. or whatever of it.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
Makes sense.
And just like the goldsmith story, so you could just carry around and trade the paper, but then anytime you actually wanted the metal, you could go exchange it at the bank.
Right. Okay. And then.
Okay. And the bank had it all. Like.
Right. Do you know? I thought somewhere I came across where, you know, because America was on the gold and silver, you know, and it much later than most countries, that a lot of countries were like, using our money to back up their money.
Right. Yeah.
Because it was as good as gold.
Right. So that comes.
It's just like the goldsmith's story.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, let's.
Maybe I'm jumping ahead a little bit.
Right. But that's fine. That's
okay.
Good question. So after World War One. Or like right about the end, because it was very expensive. It became in the U.S. was the gold exchange standard, so different from the gold standard, where for a $50 bill, you could still trade it in for $50 worth of gold, but the bank only had to keep 20 in the vault. So,
okay.
You can still like, okay, here's my $50. I want the gold, but the bank didn't have to have all of the gold for all of the paper that was in existence. So it's basically a 40% reserve ratio, which we can talk about reserve ratio.
That was a fractional reserve at that time. Okay.
Right. So that kind of allowed the government and the banks to spend, you know, 'cause the war was expensive. So they could spend their gold but still have the money. It was really just currency. Well, no, actually at that time I guess it was, you could trade it in one for one, so you know, but they could circulate more paper than they had in the vault.
See, I don't know about you, but just the general idea of that to me sounds like a bad idea. I don't know, right. Maybe.
Yeah.
Some people say, well, you know, it's you take the risk. If a bank does it, then they're taking the risk and then they should be on the hook for it instead of being FDIC protected. And then when they collapse, it doesn't matter. They're not punished, you know, that's a whole nother thing, but it just seems like a bad idea to me.
Yeah. I mean, I used to think too, that when I put money in the bank and then I write a check or whatever, that like, my money was in there, and I don't know, even like it was like a safe deposit box or something, like there's mine and
right.
then, you know, and then I thought, okay, well, I guess they pull it all together, but, and they wouldn't have to keep mine separate, but they should still have it if I want to go get it,
mm-hmm.
But they don't. And it gets much worse than just this 1913.
Mm-hmm.
So then World War II, the U.S. provided, you know, goods and supplies to allies, in exchange for gold. So at one point, the US had two-thirds of the world's gold. Like all of the gold in the world was like in the US
Wow.
Treasury. Yeah. And that's why people say, you know, like war is good for the economy. So then the US also loaned dollars, US dollars, Federal Reserve notes to Europe, like all countries in Europe. And they would send the gold. So, and then, you know, charge interest and all that stuff. So then in 1944, we had the Bretton Woods Agreement, which was a new monetary system, basically, so different than the gold exchange standard. And that's the one where you were talking about where every currency in the world, almost every, like it was 90 whatever percent, was backed by the US dollar. So it was like not backed by gold, but backed by the US dollar, because, you know, the US was rich, had all the gold, like it, so, oh, of course, US dollars are valuable. And then the US dollar was backed by gold at $35 an ounce. So, and that was a fixed rate. So gold didn't go up and down. It was always 35 an ounce for a while.
Oh, okay, so the dollar was like bonded to 1 ounce, the dollar amount, right?
Right.
Okay, I gotcha.
Yeah. And there were fixed exchange rates. So like, you know how right now you can go on and like, oh, how many US dollars for Japanese yen or Chinese yuan? And it's always fluctuating. Back then, when this happened, like everything was fixed, so that they didn't go up and down. And there was no reserve ratio. So the US didn't have to have any certain amount of gold for all the dollars that were out there, all the paper dollars.
This is
So, like the goldsmith story, like
yeah.
it's, hey, we've got all this gold now because all the countries in the world sent it to us to pay for, you know, their supplies and all this stuff for wars and get loans and all this. So the US had all this gold, and then everybody has faith in the dollar, so all these paper dollars go out there, but there was no reserve ratio, so they could just send the paper. Okay, then, oh, I have this quote from President of France, or whatever the leader is called of France, Charles de Gaulle. Charles de Gaulle,
Le président.
after World War II. Yeah, he said, "The fact that many countries accept as principle dollars as being as good as gold leads Americans to get into debt and out of debt for free at the expense of other countries." Blah blah blah. "We consider it necessary that international trade be established, as it were the case before the great misfortunes of the world, on an indisputable monetary base, and one that does not bear the mark of any particular country." Which base? In truth, no one can. Wait, I might have transcribed it wrong. No one can't see. Oh, no one can see how we could have any other standard criteria other than gold. So
I
this
think
is.
I agree with that.
Yeah, so this is France after World War II. Like, hey, I don't think if for international trade, it shouldn't be, you know, it shouldn't be like this. It should be just a gold standard.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So, you know, other countries were starting to, just like the goldsmith story, starting to want their gold. So they started sending their paper back to the US saying, "Hey, can we have the gold now? 'Cause just to be sure that you're not just hoarding it all or and making fake paper." So the US lost 30% of its gold between 1959 and 1971. I mean, and all the paper came flooding back. And there was about 12 times more paper dollars than gold at that time.
So, okay, I got a question. But if the government possesses the gold, isn't that our gold?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so like if the government is doing worldwide, you know, business on behalf of the people, then that's our stuff.
Yeah.
But like people, how do the people benefit from the stuff that the government got on our behalf? Because it's just
right. Well, I mean, they did because, you know, I guess it made for like a strong economy because the US dollar was strong. You know, so like even though the gold was in the treasury or wherever it was, Fort Knox or who knows, I guess it was just the illusion, or I mean, not a total illusion, but I mean, the people benefited because the trade, you know, like international trade benefited the U.S. as a whole.
Yeah.
Still
feels weird, like,
yeah,
like they're the parents and we're just the little kids, and it's like, well, we'll let you have a little bit if we think it's necessary. But I've always,
right.
you said Fort Knox. I've always wondered, well, not always, ever since I've been thinking more about things that I believe to be true and whether I actually know those to be true or not. I always wondered about Fort Knox. Was there ever really gold in there? You know, they did that one thing where like reporters were curious and they kept hounding them. We want to see the gold. We'd see the gold. And so they took the reporters in. And it's like, here's all the gold. And I'm like, well, how do you know that's real? Like the whole thing could have been staged. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me knowing what, you know, going through what we've learned so far. But, you know, or I guess James Bond and, you know, Odd Job had it out in Fort Knox in Goldfinger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but that's my only images of Fort Knox are from a Bond movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's real or not, you know, and then there's pictures though. Well, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, what you're explaining, I'm thinking there's no gold in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why in 1971, all the paper dollars were coming back and there wasn't enough gold to cover it. So like literally the entire world economic system would collapse. So it probably should have, but Nixon stopped it, and that started the next monetary system, which we're in now. The interesting thing, you can find like his speech. He says, "I'm temporarily suspending the convertibility of dollars into gold.
Accordingly, I have directed the Secretary of the Treasury to take the action necessary to defend the dollar against the speculators. I have directed Secretary Connally to suspend temporarily the convertibility of the dollar into gold or other reserve assets, except in amounts and conditions determined to be in the interest of monetary stability and in the best interest of the United States."
Mm-hmm.
So like, okay, just for a few moments or whatever temporary is, you can't give the paper and we're not going to give you the gold. and we're still in that temporary phase.
Right.
1971.
That was 50 years ago. Awesome.
So all currencies became fiat at that time. Meaning, okay, it's not backed by anything. It's just the paper, but you have to use it as your currency. And there's literally been like thousands of fiat currencies in history. Like I would have guessed like, I don't know, however many countries there are, maybe that many.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's like thousands and thousands, and 100% of them, have failed, have collapsed and gone to zero.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Are there any, I'm just throwing out questions that, are there any countries that still are on a gold standard?
So Libya was either trying to do that or trying to stay like that, until a couple years ago when
mm-hmm.
that was put to an end because, the official story is it was a terrible leader and
right.
we need to go in there and whatever, but yeah. And that was mentioned in that other episode too, with the countries
right.
that, you know, don't have central banks or whatever. So
right.
Libya, I don't know. What was that one? Turkmenistan? There's some weird stuff about that one.
Hmm.
That
yeah, we can look into it. But yeah, I was just curious if there are any. I'm sure countries coin like the U.S. coins, you know, silver dollars still,
mm-hmm.
and $20 gold pieces. $20 gold pieces that are worth, you know, $1,800.
Yeah. And actually, yeah, I've heard, now this is extremely controversial, so beware.
Good, I like controversy.
That Hitler was trying to, you know, keep Germany's money not controlled by central banks and the Rothschilds and, you know, keep Germany's money in Germany and gold and all that. So
I don't know, man. I don't know. Could be.
All right. So all of that was like intro. I didn't realize like we were already going kind of long, like the main stuff that we haven't even gotten to yet. But just a
it's okay. Reminder. We got no rules here. We've got no rules.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's all the time we had for part one of this segment. Be sure to tune in next time for part two. And be sure to check out awaketheiron.com for the full video experience. We'd also love to hear from you. You can give us a call at the Awake the Iron hotline. It is 601-654-IRON. Thanks again, and as always, be sure to choose love, because hate is just too great a burden to bear. We'll see ya.